Daf is Daf Chaf Hey. So we got to the very top. The new Mishnah begins Marchikin es hanevelos vesakvaros vesabursiki min ha'ir chamishim ama. You have to separate nevelos, dead animals, and a cemetery, and what do you call those places again? Burski.
Tannery,
there you go. And the reason is because mishim reach ra, Rashi says it smells bad, so it needs to be a distance from the city, 50 amos. Ein osin borski, says the Mishnah, elo lemizrach ha'ir. You can only make a borski on the eastern part of the city, and that's because Rashi explains she'ein ruach mizrach is kasha tadir elam kein ba'al pranios. The eastern wind doesn't come often, so therefore that's the best place to keep away the smell. Rabbi Akiva Omer l'cho ruach u'osa, you could place any side you want, chutz mimarava, with the exception of the west. The Gemara explained why not the west, but the north, south, and east are all permitted. Umarchik chamishim amos, has to be 50 amos away. The Gemara is going to clarify the 50 amos, is that going on the west when you can't, or the other side you have to do 50 amos, but the west you can't put at all. So the Gemara is going to clarify the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Then the Mishnah says, Marchikin es ha-mishim min ha-yerek. We've seen this already quoted before. You have to separate the flax pool from the vegetables, vesa krishim min ha-betzelim, and the onions and the other types of vegetables, vesa chardom min ha-dvorim, and the mustard from the honey. All these things are mazik. And Rabbi Yossi Matir, as we saw, bechardla, he permitted it because they're really both mazik each other. The honey, rather the bees are mazik the mustard, and the mustard are mazik the bees. So this is the Mishnah. The Gemara wants to clarify the position of Rabbi Akiva Ibailu. Rabbi Akiva, when he says you could place it on any side with the exception of the west, and then he says you have to separate 50 amos, so what are the separating of 50 amos going on? Hechi kamar, l'cho ruachu ose, v'shome chutz mi'achutz mi'marava. You could place it up into the wall with the exception of the west, where you have to separate marchik chamishim amav yose. You could place it on the west side of the city, but it has to be 50 amos away, or or every single direction needs to be 50 amos away, and chutz mimarava she'eino osa klal, but the west, you can't place it at all anywhere on the west. That's the suffix the Gemara has within the position of Rabbi Akiva. So Gemara says, Tashma, the Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Akiva omer l'chol ruach u'osa u'marchik chamishim ama chutz mimarava. You can place it on any side, and you distance it 50 amos, at the exception of Marava, de'eina osa kolikar, where you don't place it on the west side at all. Why? Bipnei shi tadira, since the western wind is tadir, comes frequently, so you can't place it anywhere on the western part of the city. So the Gemara asks, Amar lei Rava le Rav Nachman, my tadira, what does tadira mean? What does it mean that the wind, the western wind, is frequent? Ilema tadira beruchos, if it means that it comes often, it comes more often than the other directions. So that's not true. Every single day, all four winds are blowing. And with each of the wind, the northern wind is always blowing. Had it not been for that, then if the northern wind wouldn't come, and I guess where Rashi explains it's sweet and it's soft and it's clear, it really dilutes the strength of the other wind. So the northern wind is the most tadir, if any of them. And the ruach jomis kashamikulon, the hardest wind is the southern wind. Vil male benenatz shemamida, the neit mamida, it had the benenatz not held on to it, it machreves olam, it would destroy the world. What's this benenatz? Rashi explains that this benenatz is a malach ha'asir b'dmus neitz. It appears I say the nates is a type of animal.
Hawk.
A hawk, there you go. So it looks like a hawk. It's a type of angel. So this angel is protects it from us, the world, from the southern wind. Shinemar, as it says, it quotes a pasuk, that hama binascha yaver nates yifros knaf of leseman. The hawk spreads its wings to the south to protect from that southern wind. So we see clearly that the western wind is not tadir, it's not the most frequent wind. So Elamai Tadir, what does it mean when Rabbi Akiva says that the west is most Tadir? Gemara explains Tadira Bishchina. It's frequented with the Shchina. Damar Bishu Ben Levi, Bova Nachsik Tova Lavosenu. Let's have a Tova, let's show thanks to the Avosenu. Shodio Makom Tvila. They showed us where the proper place to daven was. What's the proper place? Dichsiv, as it says, quote the Pasuk, Vutzva Shemaim Lecha, Mishtachavim, that the sun is bowing down to you. So we know that the sun, let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, Utsva Shemaim Hashemesh Vayarech Ha'omdim B'Mizrach, that are standing in the east, L'cham Shachvim L'marv. So they're in the east and they're facing toward the west. So that tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Shekhinah is in the west. So that's what Tadir means. The Shekhinah is Tadir. So that's why it's inappropriate to leave the Borski in the west, because that's where the Shekhinah is. It's Tadira. That's Rabbi Kiva's understanding.
Is that because they're in Babel or is Rabbi Kiva?
No, not, nothing to do.
Not Babel is east.
Yeah, it's true. And Babel actually is north, according to the way the Gemara's understand it. North. So I don't know how that works out. Might be a little bit. Right, it's in the west, it's true. But the Psukim referred to, as we'll see even later, I think the Gemara talks about Babel being in the north. Mm-hmm. How that fits into our map, I'm not sure. But I don't think it has to do with Eretz Yisrael being in the west. It's even if we're in America, where it's considered B'marava. Okay, so the Gemara says, how is it so clear from this pasuk that the Kadosh Baruch Hu is in the west? Maskevla Rav Acha Bar Yaakov V'dilma Ke'eved Shenota Pras Mirabo V'chozel Achorav U'Meshachavim. Maybe it's like when Eved takes something from his Rebbe, he walks away backwards, walking that way. So just because the sun is in the east, maybe they're walking away from the east, from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Shekhinah, who's in the east, and there is no clear raya. So look at Rashi. Rashi explains this. V'dilma, Dilma heim l'mizrach m'shachma. Maybe the sun and moon are bowing to the east where they're found. V'chitema ein derech l'shachma v'samach l'rav. You don't bow down if the Shekhinah is right there in the east. You don't bow down there. You bow down as when you leave, when you're far away. So it's no. Heim osim k'evet shenota pras mirabo. When Evet takes something from his Rebbe, he walks backwards. V'chozel achorav m'shachma. So maybe that's what's going on. So the Gemara says, Kashi, you're right. It's not so clear from this pasuk that the Shekhinah is in the west, but either way, we do know that the Shekhinah is more tadir in the west. Now, what that exactly means, I don't fully know, but this is what the Gemara is telling us. Gemara says, Rabbi Oshaya savar Shekhinah b'chol makom. He thought that the Shekhinah is everywhere equally. How do we know this? Da'amar Rabbi Oshaya, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Ata hu Hashem levadecha, you are the one and only? Ata, he says, Sheshemaim, you made the Shemaim, you made everything. So the Gemara says, Shluchecha, your agents, meaning the sun and the moon, they're different than the regular shluchei basar v'adam. Very different than our agents, human beings. Why? Shluchei basar v'adam mimakom shemishtalchin l'sha machzirin shlichusan. When a person sends from Woodmere on a certain mission, they're going to come back, report back to Woodmere, to the source where they were sent from, because that's where the mishaleach is. Aval shluchecha l'makom, but the agents of Hashem shemishtalchin misham, they're sent from one place. Machzirin shlichusam. So there, that's where they report back. They don't go back to the original place. Wherever they are and fulfill their mission, they tell Hashem, in that new place, I fulfill the mission, meaning the Shekhinah is everywhere. So if they're sent from Woodmere to Farakwe, they'll report back in Farakwe to Hashem, to the Shekhinah, that they fulfill their mission, because Hashem is everywhere. Shenemar, as it says, Hatishlach Barakim, they send off the Barakim, the thunder and lightning, Vayelchu, and they go, Vayomru Lecha, Hinenu Yava, Hinenu. Hinenu, here I am. Yavo v'yomur, doesn't say come and say. Lo nemar ela vayelcho v'yomur, they're going to go and say. So wherever they went, they're not returning back. They're not vayavo. They're not coming back to the original place. They're going and reporting back to the Shekhinah. They did the shlichus in that next location where they are. Tells us midlamed she'ashchinah b'chol makom. The Shekhinah is everywhere. That's what Rav Rabbi Yishmael holds this way, Savar, Shekhinah b'chol makom, detana debay Rabbi Yishmael, minayin, how do we know she'shekhinah b'chol makom, the Shekhinah is everywhere, she'nemar, as it says in the pasuk, hinei ha'malach hadover bi, the malach who speaks to me, yotzei, goes out, u'malach acher, yotzei l'krosso, and another malach comes to greet him, acher lo nemar, ela l'krosso, it doesn't say the malach follows him, it says that he greets him. What does that mean? Melamed she'ashchinah b'chol makom. So I'm not really sure this raya here. Let's look at Rashi here. Rashi says, Hinei malach hadover biyotze. It's referring to the Nevuah of Zechariah. Lamed es Yushalayim kama achar, to measure. The malach was sent out to measure the size of Yushalayim. U'malach achar yotze lister. Another malach went out to destroy shlichus, to destroy this mission. Sharisham, shechazer bo makom. V'lo niyitein b'mida av omer prazes Yushalayim. He was trying to disconnect the shlicha, so he shouldn't report back to Hashem the dimensions of Yushalayim. They both came from the Shekhinah. It sounds like they're coming from two different places. So, and they met somewhere in the middle, but the Shekhinah was sending them both, even though they were originated in two different places, the Shekhinah was everywhere, and the Malach came from those places. Something along those lines. Fine. Then the Gemara says, Afer of Sheshis, Savar Shekhinah b'chamakum. He also thinks that the Shekhinah is everywhere. And so, how so? The Gemara is important to know. Rashi points out, Rav Sheshis was blind. So, he says, Amr Leir of Sheshis l'shmaya. Rav Sheshis says to his shamash, he says, L'cha ruchsa okmin, position me any way you want, so I could daven. L'bari mizrach, with the exception of east, don't point me towards east. La mishim de las b'shechina, not because the Shekhinah is not there, because the Shekhinah, in fact, is everywhere. El mishim de moriba mine, because the minim are going to say, oh, he's probably davening towards the sun in the east, so don't position me to the east. Now, not that you're doing that, but it's very apropos also when it comes to Kiddush Levana. When we daven, say Kiddush Levana, we say a bracha towards the moon. Obviously, we're not davening at the moon, but sometimes it could come off as if we are davening to the moon. I spoke a few weeks ago, Friday night, about Kiddush Levana, that afterwards someone came up to me who's a Baal Tshuva. He says, the strangest thing becoming Baal Tshuva is Kiddush Levana. It's the strangest thing I was able to accept. You're davening to the moon, it looks like. That's what it appears like from the outside. So therefore, Rav Sheshis says, when you position me to daven, do not position me towards the east, not because the Shekhinah isn't there again, but because it looks like I'm davening to the sun. You should turn. Fine. The Gemara then, also when you say Aleinu, you shouldn't bow down either for Aleinu. If you do, don't do it towards the moon. You shouldn't do it. You should be aware of that. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yabohu Amar Shekhinah b'marav, he felt that no, the Shekhinah was really in the west. How does he know? So the Amar Rabbi Yabohu, my Urya Avir Ka. So what does this mean? So Rashi explains that Urya is Anishamati, says Rashi, that Kach Korin Lamarav Belashan Parsi. In Persia, they refer to Urya as the west. And according to he himself has a different pshat. But either way, Urya is Avir Ka, in the space of the west, that's where the Shekhinah is found. So there's a machlokus. Is the Shekhinah more in the west, or is the Shekhinah b'chol makom? Okay. Mar now darshins Amar of Yehuda. Yehuda says, "My dichse." What does it mean in the pasuk that we say Yarof Kematar Lekhi? What does that pasuk mean? It means Zurach Maravis Sheba Me'arfel Shel Olam. It's referring to Yarof is the back of the world, so the western wind that comes from the back of the world. That's what pshat is. So Rashi just explains here, Me'arful Shel Olam, around 8 lines up, Ani Shemati Mechezko Shel Olam, Al Shem Sheshchinah B'marav Sfirlei, that it's in the west. So when it comes from the west, it's the back of the Shekhinah. That's what Rashi her pshat was, but he has a different pshat in this. That the word Marav and Achor is usually used interchangeably, but again, these are very hard things to really understand what's going on here. Then the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean? It says, Tizal Ketal Amarti, Zurach Sfonis. So it's going to come down, it's going to flow down like the dew. That's a ruach tzon, it's a northern wind. Shimazelas es hazav, it cheapens the gold. Somehow it cheapens the gold. How so? Because when the northern wind comes, Rashi says, shimechamemes ha'mevia shrav ravon ba, a famine comes, v'azav lo, zal. No one's able to afford it. There's no fruits anymore, so no one's buying anything. Everything goes down in price. The gold goes down in price. So when the northern wind is so strong, then tizal, it weakens the power of gold. The chen hu omer, that's what it says further. Hazalam zav mikis. It weakens zal, lashon cheap. It cheapens the gold from the pocket. Then what does it mean in the pasuk? Kisirim ale desha, that the seirim, like goats, it brings up grass. Zurach Mizrachis is referring to the eastern wind. Shemisaeres es kol ha'olam kisair. Rashi says here, it's the kisair is really referring to a shade, that it shakes up the world like a storm when it comes from the east. Ukriviv ma'ali Esev, what does that mean? Zurach Dromus, this is the fourth wind, the southern wind. Shemala revivim umagadelas asavim, that it brings out nice drips of water and helps the grass grow. So this pasuk that we're very familiar with is really a reference to all four different winds and the different natures that they have. Okay, now we're going to encounter a lot of pictures here. Now, I'll tell you what the Svarim say, like the Maharal and the Ramchal, all say what we're about to see is not true. It goes against science, and it was really talking about a Gadat Gemara. So rather talking about something in Kabbalah. And it's in the Akdama to the Ein Yaakov, they quote the Ramchal. Ramchal says there are many Gemaras that were hidden in such a way that go against nature. And it wasn't meant to be real, but they had to somehow hide all the Kabbalah in the Gemara. At a certain point, they didn't want to reveal the Gemara only to certain Yechidim. But then they realized they're going to start losing that tradition. They had to start writing it down. They didn't want it to be exposed to everyone, so they wrote it in such a hidden way so no one would understand, unless you know the Sifrei Kabbalah, you wouldn't know what this Gemara is talking about. But this is one of the primary examples they point to of a Gemara that makes no sense, Beteva, and there's something deeper going on. So we're going to just go with it, and then just take it as that. Fine. So, yeah. So the Gemara says as follows. Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Olam, Lachsadra, Hudoma. The world is like an Achsadra, which has three walls, but the fourth one is open. There's a little, get some wind coming in there. That's how the world is situated. The dome, the sphere above the outside, the earth. It's supposed to, there's three walls, and then there's an opening. So how so? Beruach Tzvonis Eina Misoveves, and the northern side does not close off. The northern side is what's open, that's exposed, there's no wall. So now the sun's moving around the world, the different directions, it's going in a circle around the world. Unclear whether this is referring to the daily orbit of the sun. Now we know the sun doesn't really orbit, really the earth orbits around the sun, but let's just talk in these terms right now. The sun's orbiting the world, or different seasons of the year. So once the sun reaches the northwest position, that corner, nichfefes ve'ola lamala. Now it goes. So imagine this, you have the world, and then it's inside, this is dome, and it's closed off. The sun's inside this dome. Now once it gets to that point, it leaves the world, the sphere of some sort, and then ve'ola lamala goes above minarki, above the rakia where we can't see it, and then it comes back around to start again the next morning. So obviously it's against everything that we say and we understand. Isn't that true?
Above the arctic circle, that's what you see.
That's what you see.
Because the sun doesn't set.
Right.
It goes to the west, and then it circles around the north, back to the east. Uh-huh. It doesn't go behind. It's 20 minutes sunlight all the time.
So even though this is not what actually happens, that's what's perceived. Because we know the sun doesn't move. But what's perceived, right, I guess, from the person and you said North Pole, that's what it's like?
Above the arctic circle.
So then that's what they observe. Okay, fine. Okay, fine. So then, that's all the first opinion. Then Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Olam Lekuva Hudom, it's more like a box, a cube. Beruach Tzonis Misoveves, and it is surrounded even from the northern side. Bekeven Shechama Magis Lekeren Maravis Tzonis, so once it gets to the end of the line, the end of the orbit, Makeves V'chazeres Achorei Kippa. So now it goes like below, it goes underneath the world this time. Shenemar holich el darom, it goes to the south, the sova el tzofon, goes around to the north. Okay, I can't really do much with this. Maybe Harry wants to suggest something, but this is the best that I could do, guys. I'm sorry. Okay, so the Gemara says Vaiter. Now, where are we? Shenemar holich el darom, sova el tzofon, it goes to the south and around the north. Holich el darom, what does that mean? It goes to the south. Bayom, during the daytime, it goes to the south. And that's referring to apparently the winter months, where it's more towards the south. V'sovev el tzafon, and belayla, at nighttime it goes on the north. That's where it goes during the nighttime of the winter months. Sovev, sovev, holech haruach, val svivosav, shav haruach. Elu pnei mizrach, pnei marav. This is referring to the western and eastern sides. Shepamim misabavasam. Again, I know in the article they have a whole diagram here of the horizon, the way the horizon works, and then the eastern horizon and the western horizon. Sometimes it goes, sometimes pamim misavasam, upamim halachtam. Sometimes it goes around it, sometimes it goes through it. Again, I don't know the science of it, I don't know the Kabbalah of it, so I'm just reading through. The Gemara says, Hu haya omer, he would say, Asan le Rabbi Eliezer. So this position goes like Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, who felt in the above opinion, he was the first opinion above, that thought that the sun, when it gets to the point, it goes above the rakia and then around. Okay, then further the Gemara is darshaning, min ha-cheder tavo sufa, from the room it goes to an end, zu ruach dromis, that's the end of the orbit, umimizach kara zu ruach tzfonis, even though it calls it east, or rather, I'm sorry, I misread that, umimizarim kara, that's a reference to the ruach tzfonis, the northern direction, and minishmas al yitain karach zu ruach maravis, which is very cold, the western direction, v'rocha maim mutach zu ruach mizrachis, which brings the rain. So this is another pasuk that's referencing the different directions. So then the Gemara says, didn't we learn above ruach dromis mala revivim megadels asavim? Didn't we learn above that the southern wind is really what brings the rain? So the Gemara says, lakasha, that's not really a stira. One's talking about case, the asya ha de asya mitra binichusa, where the rain comes pleasantly, ha bishifichusa. When it comes pleasantly, so then it's a good source when it comes from the southern direction. When it comes bishifichusa, when it comes pouring a lot, like a big hurricane, that's when the southern wind is not a good type of rain. Okay, again, I wish I had more for you guys. I apologize. Then further, Amar Rav Chista says, Mardichse, what does the pasuk mean? Mitzafon zav yesa, from the north the gold will come. That refers to Zuruach Tzfonis, the northern wind, Shemazeles es hazav, that it really cheapens the gold, because the northern wind brings all this heat and brings famine, which then in turn makes the gold be less valuable. V'chein hu omer hazalam zav mikis, like we said above. More on the directions, the Gemara says, Amar Rav from Bar Papa, Amar Rav Chisda, Miyom Shechar Beis HaMikdash lo hukshemu ruach dromis. From the moment the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so the southern wind was not would not bring a good rain. Shenamar, as it says, Vayigzor al yamin v'rav, they made a decree on the right, and on famine, Vayochal al smol, you should eat on the left, below saveyu. So the right here is referring to, from the right side comes the Rav, but the... And that's a reference to the dromus. Uksiv, it's written further, Tzafon v'yamin atabrasam. But here we say the north and the right was created, and apparently that's referring to, even though it says the north, it's really referring to the right side of the north, which is really the south. Okay, I get it. If you look at the article, you could show up the picture, how many pictures there are trying to get these things. It's not, I don't know. Okay, I'm going with the Ramchal and Maral that I don't know what it's talking about here. Okay, weiter. The Gemara now says, now we're at somewhat of an understanding position. Now we get to something we could appreciate. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Harotze Sheyach Kim Yadrim, a person who wants to become wise should daven towards the south. The Sheyashir Yatzvan, a person who wants to become wealthy, should daven towards the north. V'simonach, the mnemonic is, Shulchan B'tzafon Menorah B'darum. The Shulchan is in the north and the menorah is in the south. So that is as follows. So when you come into the Beis HaMikdash, you come from the eastern part. You come into the Beis HaMikdash, you see the big mizbeach here that's used all day for the Karban Tamid, all the other karbanos. Then you step into the Heichal, where there's a small mizbeach ketores in the center, and then to the right, which is the north, is going to be the Shulchan, and to the left is going to be the Menorah. So the north, which is the Shulchan, represents Shulchan Malachim. That's why Purim is connected to Shulchan. The Gemara connects it to a Shulchan there. So it's about Purim is about Suda and eating and Gashmias. And the left, the south, is the Menorah, which is about Ruchnias and Kedusha. Chanukah is connected to the Menorah. Those are the two different Yom Tovim of Dirabanam. So the north, if you want to become wealthy, daven towards the north, like the Shulchan. If you want to become wise, you should be Yadim, go to the south, like the Menorah. Rabbi Shuba and Levi Amar Liolim, a person says Liolim Yadrim, a person should always daven towards the south and become smart. Why? Shemitoch Shemischakem Misasher. When a person becomes wise, he also becomes wealthy. Now that works in a very logistical way. The more a guy learns and studies, he'll be also smart in business. But it also works as some level of segula. The pasuk says Shenemar Orech Yamin Biyimina Bismola Osher V'Chavo. This is a reference to learning Torah. So learning Torah brings Arichas Yamin, and it also brings Ashiris V'Kavod. So by learning, you're going to get the best of both worlds. So the Gemara says, is that really true? That Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi really suggests davening to the south? V'ha Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi amar shechina b'marav. He says to daven towards the west. That's where the shechina is. Remember, they were in Bavel. Towards the west could be that point. So he answers the Gemara, d'mitzadeid atstude. He would go on the angle. He daven towards the southwest, where he's getting to get both angles of the south and the west, to the shechina and to the source of chachma. Amalei Rabbi Chanina l'Ravashi, Kigon Asun Diasvisa Bitzvona, Deret Israel, you guys who live in the north of Eretz Israel, which is referring to Bavel. So Bavel, according to the Gemara, is in the north. So you guys living in the north, Adrima Adrim, you guys should daven towards the south, because that's the direction of Eretz Israel. Uminolan, how do you know the Bavel Litzvona? Who says Bavel is in the north? Deret Israel. Now, what's very important here, if you read the various books on science and Torah, whenever the Gemara brings proofs about science, it never brings proofs from... proofs. It brings it from Psukim. So why doesn't it say, what do you mean? Look at the map and you'll see the Bavel's the, really we would think it's the east, but look at the map and the Bavel's to the north. They don't bring proofs from facts and evidence. They bring it from the Psukim all the time. So how do you know that Bavel is in the north? Zichsib, because they quote a Pasuk. And the Pasuk is what tells us. The Pasuk is the source of all our Chachma. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah tells us that Mitzafon Hashem Eli, Mitzafon, I lost the place here for a second. No, where is it? Yeah, Mitzafon. Mitzafon tiftach hara al kol yoshvei aretz. From the north is where all the people sitting in the land. So that's a reference, apparently, to Bavel. And now we're going back to Bavel Basra stuff. Gemara says Marchikin es ha mishra mina yerek, if they separate the different the pool of flax from the vegetables. Tana Rabbi Yossi matir becharda. Rabbi Yossi permitted by the charda that you are allowed to have your bees close to the mustard and the mustard close to the bees. Sheyachal lo marlo, you could say to him, we already saw this far a few days ago. Before you tell me to distance my bees from your chardel, I'm going to tell you, you should separate your bees from my mustard. They're eating my the seeds and they're destroying my mustard. So that's the taina of Rabbi Yossi.
The article has a long footnote here on the geography.
Yeah.
They say here that Babel definitely was to the east. And the question is, if it's to the north, slightly to the north.
A little bit.
Maybe you should turn slightly towards the south,
uh-huh.
So you face the south somewhat.
It's the Gemara always refers to Babel as being Tzafon. They never acknowledge as east.
But you have Ma'arav, but Eretz
Yisrael, Ma'arav. That's Pashat. That's Pashat, it's east. The question is whether it's also a little bit towards the north. Okay.
That's the question.
Okay. Fine. The Mishnah tells us now, Barchikin es ha'ilan min ha'bor esim v'chamish amah. You should separate a tree from a pit, 25 amos. U'bechar v'b'shikma, these are larger trees, chamishim amah has to be 50 amos from the bor. Bein milamala, bein min ha'sad, whether or not from the top or from the tzad. What does it mean from the milamala min ha'sad? The Gemara is going to explain it. Either they are level, the ground is level, or there it's a hill. Even then, you have to separate these trees from the bor. Now, im ha'bor kedma, if the bor came first, and then you put a tree in, your kotis v'nos in daman. So you cut down the tree, but you have to pay the guy for the tree. But v'im ilan kodem lo yikot. But if I had a tree first, and then you decide to build a bor in that radius, so then you have the right to cut down my tree. If it's a case of safek, who came first? Safek zekodem lo yikots. We should take it plate safe, and you shouldn't cut it down until you bring proof that the bor came first. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Afal Pisha Bor Kodemus Leilan Lo Yikots. Even if the boar came first and I came along and planted my tree afterwards, you still can't cut it down because Rabbi Yossi has that claw, like he always says, Ze Chofer Pesoch Shalov, Ze Note Pesoch Shalov. I can do whatever I want on my property, you do what you want on your property, and you have no control of what goes on here. So the Gemara wants to know, Tana, Bein Shabor Lamata of Ilan Lamala, Bein Shabor Lamala of Ilan Lamata. The halach is that you have to separate the tree 25 amos, whether or not the boar is higher up than the tree or the tree is higher up than the boar, regardless of the different levels, you always have to separate. So the Gemara understands, wait a second. Bishma, this makes sense, boar lamata v'ilan lamala. I understand the boar is lower down and the tree is higher up, so then is lina shrushin maski the boar. The roots are going to go down, it's going to follow the path of the ground. So slowly the roots are going to go lower down to where the boar is and it's going to ruin the boar. So that makes sense. El bor lamala v'ilan lamata amai. If the boar is on top of the hill and I've got a tree on the bottom of the hill, the roots are going to stay low here. It's not going to affect the boar that's way up high. So why is that a problem? So the Gemara says, because Amar Rabbi Chaga b'shem Rabbi Yossi b'pnei shemachlidin es hakarka umlakin karkaasa shabor. Because the roots are going to slowly weaken and draw nourishment and moisture from the ground, and eventually it could potentially collapse the boar from softening that dirt. Even though the boar is much higher and the roots are much lower, it could still uproot the boar. Finally, Gemara now quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi Omer Apa Pisha Bor Kodemes Leilan Lo Yikot Shezeh Uchover B'Soch Shalom Zeh Notech B'Soch Shalom. And what's the Psak? Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel Halacha Ki Rabbi Yossi. That's how you pass. You could do whatever you want in your property. So Amar Rav Ashi Ki Havin Bei Rav Kana. Now I was in the house of Rav Kana Havamrina, and they said to me, Modi Rabbi Yossi Begir Didei. They said, but Rabbi Yossi agrees, when would he be Mazik? If the moment I'm doing something in my property, which I can do, but if it causes the immediate damage to you at that very moment, if I'm like, let's say, jackhammering in my yard, and that's shaking your property and ruining the wall, that's direct damage, it's happening now, that's where Rabbi Yossi would draw a line and say, no, you have to pay for that mazik. If I plant a tree, and the roots won't happen for 50 years to ruin your property, that's permitted because nothing has happened right now. But if it's geared today, if there's an arrow that I'm shooting right now and causes you damage, even Rabbi Yossi would agree it would be usher to do. So the Gemara has a maisa, Papa Yonah. He was an individual, he was an ani, he was very, very poor. Veheshu, and he became wealthy. So what does a newly rich person do? Haya bona aftan, he built himself a mansion. So hava hanach atzuri b'shvu seha. There are certain people who were making sesame seeds in his neighborhood. And dechi hava daik shum shai, when they would squash and squeeze out the sesame, hava naidi aftan, his mansion would shake, and he got very upset by his new mansion. So also the commentary Rashi, he took him to a Beis Din, and Rashi says, Amarle, Ki Avinu Bei Rav Kana, I remember when I was in the house of Rav Kana, Havamrinan, he says, Modi Rabbi Yossi Begir Dilei, that if you're causing direct damage right now, and you're pressing the sesame seeds, and my the mansion's shaking, so then it's going to be considered damage, even according to Rabbi Yossi. So this would be also the Kama. So how, what's considered damage? How much shaking is considered damage? Minor shaking is not so much. If it's really heavy shaking, what's the shear of it considered nezek right now? So the Gemara says on the top of Chaf Vav, Kedinayda Nachtama Apume de Chatzba. Rashi explains, Shem Yanichu Kada Achom, if you place a jug on the top of a wall, the Kisa Alem, there's a cover on that jug, Yanua Hakisoi Machmas Harada, if the cover is going to shake because of the trembling, that's the shear. Now, of course, you have to know what type of cap. If it's a cap that turned and it's tight and it's not going to shake, it's unclear what type of Kisoi it is, but that's the somewhat of an idea of the shear of how much Nezek is considered Giridile. Okay, we'll stop here. Again, those who want to understand this, there's the maps. Take a look at the article for better appreciation. I apologize for nothing.